Hey, it's Steph Dixon, and welcome to the Live Wide Awake podcast. Thank you for being one of our listeners in 88 countries around the world. Today, we're speaking with Angela Sim and Lynn Yeo, the co-founders of Clovisoft. Founded in 2014, Clovisoft is committed to creating and producing toxin-free and eco-friendly daily consumables for sustainable living at affordable prices for all. I'm a huge fan of Clovisoft and have their products all over my house, and both of them were actually on the Prestige 40 Under 40 list. In this episode, we talk about how the duo went from banking to creating toilet paper and a sleuth of other sustainable household products after, the toxic load of products in our homes, why there are polar bears on their products, why we also need to make eco-friendly choices convenient, and so much more. Okay, it's time to live wide awake. Okay, well, Lynn and Angela, I'm so excited to have you both on the podcast. As I was saying just before we were recording, I'm a huge fan of Clovisoft. I literally have your tissues on my desk right now. I have your toilet paper in my bathroom. And so, yeah, it's a real honor to actually hear more about your story. And I really love diving in to actually understand a little bit about how the brand was started. So I'd really love for us to start there. What were your awakening moments that really led you to start Clovisoft and leave investment banking?
The awakening moment is really when we were introduced to the scientist that developed that unbleached bamboo tissues technology. So all the mainstream tissues are made from, as we know, trees where we, you know, it involves deforestation. So the first thing when the tissue got to my hands was that, wow, the quality is amazing, it's durable, at the same time it's soft. And then as we discussed further into product development for Clovisoft and all, we were educated on the fact that we have lost 43% of the tree populations globally. That was that, you know, deep awakening. Is like, oh my gosh, have we really lost 43% of tree populations? And when we did further research, that was the truth. At this stage, at this very moment, that was more than 9 years ago. At this very moment, we have lost 50% of the tree population. So this is real.
Yeah.
So the whole purpose became like, it was possible to be a business at the back of our head when it started. But it was truly driven by the fact that the purpose was so strong, that there's no other alternative regionally that do not rely on trees, on forests to produce our day-to-day use, like your tissue paper, toilet paper. And that's how we came to a conclusion that this could be something that is not just, probably not just a business that, you know, we are looking at, but there is this purpose behind it that we could make some impact on Earth.
Absolutely. But then, so how did you even meet the scientist to begin with? I mean, you were both working in investment banking. It's not like you would probably be in a scientist circle very often.
That's a very good question. Yeah. Okay. So in HSBC Bank, Lynn was covering the Indonesian market where she had Indonesian clients. Whilst for me, I was covering the Chinese, means China, and Thailand and the Vietnamese market. So through this, a lot of connections, I was connected to a business owner that was, he was connected to the scientist in Sichuan.
Okay.
So that's how it all happened.
Yeah, interesting. And did you always sort of care about the planet and sustainability, or was this really an awakening moment for you and you realized, okay, I have to actually do something about this. I don't want to keep losing trees.
I'll leave Lynn to talk about her personal habits. Then maybe, you know, if there's time, then I will talk about mine. Yeah.
I think growing up, my family, we are not super conscious of what is going on in the world. But of course, you know, as we get older, you know, there's more education going around, more voices. We are more aware of what's going on around us. So I would like to say that when I was in the bank, I wasn't very conscious of what's going on around me. It's like, you know, life is good, I'm comfortable, I'm happy and all. A lot of times I value convenience over a lot of other things. And I start to realize that, hey, I'm actually like creating a lot of waste in terms of like, you know, paper waste station, stuff like that. And there is where I started to do a little bit of recycling on my part when I was in banking. But of course, it's not enough. There's so many things that we can do. So when Angela, she was like sharing with me this idea, I realized that actually, you know, being environmental friendly can be something that is also convenient for us. It don't have to be like, you know, because I used to have the mindset that if I have to be environmental friendly, means I have to do a lot of things that's out of my daily, you know, routine, and I have to go the extra mile to do something. Like if you ask me to say, oh, Lynn, you cannot drive, you have to take the bus, I'll be like, oh, but that's inconvenient, you know, that's, I don't think I can sustain. So I realized that in order for it to be sustainable, it has to be something that can fit into our lifestyle. And once it becomes a habit, it will flow naturally. And this is what, you know, I'm trying to be very mindful of.
Yeah, no, I think that makes so much sense. And was it similar for you as well, Angela?
For me, education started really young when I was in primary school. We have our team of teachers explaining to us on how we should not waste electricity and how detrimental it is for our earth. So that was an impact on me. So then maybe a lot of people didn't think that it would be the case, but back then when, wow, that was so many years, like decades ago, education was happening, but in a very subtle way. For me, I came from a family business, so it would mean that at home, right, electricity and all that, the costs are covered by that family business. But consciously, I will always be mindful that when I leave a room or when I'm not using certain electrical appliances, I will make sure that I will switch them off, turn them off so that we can conserve the planet. But it was just a subconscious thing that it's just the right thing to do.
Mm.
So when we were exposed to this opportunity that there's finally an alternative to using trees to produce tissue paper and toilet tissues, that motivation was really strong.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I love what you're both kind of saying here about making environmentally friendly choices convenient for people. And I think what I've noticed with the work that we do with Green is New Black is that convenience is such a huge topic for people and their health. And I think what a lot of people don't really realize is the toxic load that most of our cleaning products at home actually have. I think people just don't think about it because you want something to be clean. And so you kind of just like accept that there's going to be chemicals, but then what does that impact on us? And so maybe you can share a little bit about what is happening with standard cleaning products and the long-term effects that they might have on us.
You see, in your words, we have so many products at home as we're growing up, right? They are filled with toxic toxins and chemicals, unwanted chemicals. So over here at Cloversol, we're fully aware of it. For me, chemicals and I'm typically quite worried about what I consume. And gradually, because of certain high net worth customers, as I'm speaking with them, they have also educated me on, you know, the use of certain products that they do not want in their life, for their children, for their babies. And also, as I absorb this, apart from doing, you know, that ultimate investment, right? As I'm absorbing this out, it came to my mind, like, I should be more careful on what I use. Because skin, right, is the largest organ on us. And the skin absorbs the most unwanted chemical. So at Cloversoft, we can't speak for other brands. At Cloversoft, we are very mindful on every ingredients that come into our product. It is also motivated by the fact that if we were to, you know, form our formula using plant-based or natural ingredients, it can also translate to conserving the planet. Why so? Because as you know, chemicals that is dangerous, that is not good for humans, will not be good for the planet. So I'll use, for example, we talk about babies, right? At Cloversoft, our baby wipes, right, is made from 100% natural plant-based, and there are one organic ingredient within the baby wipes. So we will not declare that we are full organic because it is, it's just impossible for us to achieve that. So what we do is once we have formulated the formula for our bamboo baby wipes, right, we run it through a very strict test. And that test is a globally accredited test, is an oral test. So it means that when we put the wipes in our mouth, right, it can be safely ingested. But we obviously will not encourage everyone to just, you know, it's just that sometimes we, as we wipe ourselves, we clean our mouth, or when, you know, babies, when they put it in their mouth, right, we can just gently put it off. It's just basically safe for that. So this is how we try to move into households to introduce plant-based products that are also infused with, so first of all, it's soft. And we move into, you know, we were talking about toilet cleaner, for example, right, earlier on. For toilet cleaner, we remove bleach. So there's no need for bleach. It can still clean the toilet very well. And we infuse natural essential oil. So this is what we do. So we let our consumer feel motivated. When they use it, they smell like, you know, it's not bad. Oh, the toilet, you know, at that moment smell really good. And we encourage them to use it after each toilet use to reduce that bacteria, you know, in the toilet. And then with that, when you feel good about it, we will inform the client, like somewhere on our packaging, like, oh, by the way, the product is eco-friendly and the whole bottle can be recycled. So, you know, put them in the recycling bin so that we can kind of close up the loop.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I like as well why that you talk about tree savings with your products. So with as you're using the products, like how many trees people are saving. And also maybe you could share a little bit about how you partner with Polar Bears International, because I think this is just so cute. And yeah, little polar bears on your branding and everything.
Okay. When Angie and me, when we first started, right, to be honest, we don't know how long the business will last. Someone mentioned to us that if you can pass your third year mark, you're on a good path. But honestly, we don't know. So we just want to give it a try. And, you know, we tell ourselves if we cannot do it, then we go back to banking.
Yeah.
So on a business trip, very early stage of the business, on a business trip, Angela was...
Oh, you're going to share that.
I'm going to share that. Yeah, I hope you don't mind. Okay, Angela was like, so we were like on a flight and Angela was like crying and all. So I was
tearing.
Oh, she was tearing, not crying, tearing. Okay, that's the difference. So she was tearing and I'm like, what's going on? Why are you so sad? She's like, oh, it's this show. So she was actually watching a documentary. It's part of the Inflight Entertainment. And then the show actually followed this mother, baby bear and the mother bear. And the baby bear is like a teenager and is supposed to go out and, you know, hunt for their own food and be independent.
Mm-hmm.
So the bear was like, you know, a little lost. This is first time trying to get food and trying to find sea ice to birth. And no matter how he finds, it's like he's losing time. The sea ice is melting really fast. He's losing time. And there's a particular scene that Angela was sharing with me is that he tried to, you know, climb up this little cliff and he's like to get some food.
Stony, sharp cliff. You can imagine. You fall on the wrong footing, you may die. So that polar, so thank goodness the seals, the bunch of them spotted the polar and they swam back into the sea. So the polar then was a bit lost and, you know, he descended from that cliff. So I was a bit relieved, but I was thinking, but he's still hungry and he need to hibernate really soon when summer comes. So that was an awakening. So, you know, the load of information, also being in banking, we were so protected, right? We have assistance and all help. So we are very thoroughly spoiled. So our job there is to bring in that investment and bring in that revenue for the bank and then we are done, right? And then suddenly we've been informed that we have lost 43% of the tree population. And then next is there was this documentary of this polar bear, sea ice melting too quickly. They are losing their grounds to hunt for food. So those information. So, and also the stress of a business because we are putting in investment, right, into this business. So I was just explaining, Lynn, you know, maybe this business may not work out, right? So we'll end up going back to the bank. If that's the case, we might as well just hope that the best organization, which is Polar Bear International in Canada, if they agree and they believe in our vision of starting Clover Soft, maybe we can partner up. So should it not work out, at least we have helped in that. No matter how short or long the journey is, we would have helped the polar bears. So that was why our very first product already had polar bears on them for the, you know, greater purpose behind it. And then with Polar Bear International logo on our package.
As we really both think that, you know, the polars are really cute, we realize that Singaporeans are not that familiar with polar bears, maybe because it's like very far, you know, from home. So a lot of people actually thought we are like putting image dogs. Of dogs. They were like, oh no, they're actually polar bears.
That's so funny.
We found ourselves explaining.
Yeah, it's like, oh no, it's actually a polar bear.
We explain about why the color is this way, and we still have to explain that, oh, those animals are polar bears, you know, in very cold countries in the north, you know, they are white color. And so we found ourselves explaining to the supermarket ladies, you know, Stephanie, you've been here long enough, you would have known, they probably, you know, wouldn't know much about polar bears. Yeah,
and that brings me to my next question, because I think you had a lot of challenges in the beginning in developing your products and with people's misconceptions around it as well, because obviously it's unbleached, right? So I read somewhere that people thought that it was unsafe or dirty. So maybe you can unpack that a little bit as well.
Okay, so the same thing for the aunties that's in the supermarket, right? Because it's extra work. So whenever there are new products, right? And moreover, these clover soft tissues are brown in color. To them, this is so disgusting. Why is it brown? Is it not clean well? That's why it's brown in color. So that also gave us the opportunity to tighten that relationship with this on-the-ground personnel, the ones that work in the supermarket, because it gives us a chance, first of all, for them to scream at us, and then for them to feel bad about it, and for us to have that opportunity to explain our products. Yeah, so at the end of it, when they understood that, oh, this is the original color of bamboo, and I also encourage them to, you know, Stephanie, in Singapore, for the public housing, in the past, before there's indoor clothes hanging gadgets, right, typically people use a bamboo stick. Not sure you've seen it before, really long. So they will insert it in different holders outside of the window of the kitchen. So I'll inform them and encourage them to have a look at the wrapper. When they tear it open, within it is that thing is a bamboo, and that is the color of bamboo. And that's where they had awakenings, like, ah, so this is natural and there's no chemical. We don't need to turn the tissue white with over 100,000 of chemicals, you know, spray them white and all. So that in turn became an opportunity for us to explain.
Yeah, no, a great educational opportunity. And so I'm curious, you've obviously had to do a lot of education with your products, especially for the Singapore market. What has actually worked and what really hasn't worked? And how do you think we can push to get more education and more people joining the eco-conscious and eco-friendly products? Because I think it's really crazy that we are actually like that we can have these unsafe cleaning products in our homes, and that people don't really realize, like, not only is it not great for us to be breathing in all these fumes, but it's also not good for these things to be flushed down the toilet and to be going into our ecosystems the way that they do. So how can we make this the norm? And what do you think we need to do to get more people on board?
You know, I really love your question because they are, you know, things that they're, you know, problems that we face for many years. And likewise, it's not just our problems. It's also problems from the consumer point of view, because they just can't find things that are suitable. So what we do is we saw that the whole market, eco-friendly, is indeed important. Like two of us, like sitting down here, we are aware of it. But the thing is, as we are doing it, we can't just tell our consumers, like, you got to do this, you got to do that, and that'll be, you know, even our pet dogs, right, or our babies, you can't also dictate what they do. They will just not be okay with it because they want to have their own choice. So what we do here, and that's the responsibility I always tell everyone in the team, is our responsibility to motivate our consumers to come on board. And then once they are on board, we will educate them. So first of all, what we do is we did a shift in our product creation. Just now, earlier on, you would have heard me talk about how we infuse essential oil, natural essential oil that's healthy for our skin in our product, right? So that is one sensor that we're trying to trigger in our consumer. So a different sensor such as our dishwashing liquid. Stephanie, we infuse a blend of essential oil when you are doing dishes. I don't know whether you do dishes at home. I do my own dishes. So that gives you, that scent will give you happiness. So when you sniff it, you know, you feel happy. Next, behind, we have a QR code. If you were to scan it with your phone, send you to Spotify, where a list of music, like happy music or, you know, lighthearted music will play. And then that's where you do your dishwashing chore. And then with that, once you understand that, wow, this is, it will give you that experience, right? That's our way to motivate our customers to choose us. And then with that, well, once they are with CloverSoft, then they'll understand the ingredients that we use is plant-based. And at the same time, the full formula is biodegradable. It's not harmful to our planet. It's not artificial. Then from there, we feel like this is our anger to motivate our customers to come on board. And then at the end of it, for us, we are the people that's working behind to conserve the planet this way. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love it. I love all the different touch points. And I think it's so clever to, you know, get them on board, motivate them in different ways. And then you can sort of educate them afterwards. And the more experience and exposure they have to your product, the more they're being educated that way. So I think, yeah, that's a really great strategy. Can you talk a little bit about like quiet luxury and how this sort of relates to CloverSoft? Because I think this is also like a growing movement.
I think a lot of consumers nowadays goes into the product really matters to them and what does the brand represents. To be honest, Angela did share some of the success we had, like, you know, the dishwash. But to be honest, we have a range of products that we are very passionate about, but it doesn't work as well. Mm. Let me just share failures, okay? Mm. Let's be real here. We launched our cordless roll. It's the one without the inner core. And we think that, why? Who needs inner core? It's such a waste anyway. Every time I have to throw them away, I find that it's like, you know, like extra work for me anyway. So we launched our cordless. And for many years, we've been trying to push the cordless toilet roll out. But the take-up rate just wasn't there. Mm. We just couldn't get people to change their behavior. We couldn't get enough people to adopt. And another of our failure is our 1,000 sheets on facial tissues. Because the reason why Angela and me, we wanted to do the 1,000 sheets in a paper packaging is because we realized that every household have their own very beautiful tissue holder. Mm-hmm. So you can actually, you know, transfer them over. But there's also no, the take-up rate just wasn't fast enough. So sometimes it's like, we want to do certain thing, but if the market is not ready, we can't force it. Mm. We have to do step by step. We have to do it step by step. First, you have to get people to be willing to do the adoption, and then, you know, we can slowly introduce other variants to get them to do the adoption slowly. We can't force it upon them. Mm. And I feel that for this, the market must be ready to be able to have this change, have this shift. Mm. And if you were to ask me, is the market ready? I think in a way, the Singapore market is still not totally ready for it, but we can definitely introduce different range of products slowly to let the market have a, you know, adapt, and then, you know, we can slowly move on to other range of products. And I'm extremely thankful that people recognize CloverSoft as a brand that they trust in terms of the quality, in terms of the formulation. And with that, we will come up with like more plant-based products that because sensory experience is very important. When they use it, you know, the immediate, you know, feeling they get is important. So we will, you know, slowly, you know, come up with more and more range for people to adopt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one, failure is important. Quite glad that Lynn brought it up. And with that failure, we pivoted and we learned. So Stephanie, we have this water that is made from paper carton. You know, like your milk carton, right? We partner up with a reputable packaging company and we came up with a paper water that's made from paper packaging and with a cornstarch cap on top. So with the quiet luxury that we were talking about, thankfully, this product has been picked up in one of the world's top French boutique. I'm not sure whether we can say it, but if we were to say it, then you will know which it is. So for them, they saw CloverSoft as a brand that stands for sustainability and stands for the best customer service, we hope. And with that, there's also this, thankfully, the luxury that they saw in our brand, Cloversoft. And now in all their outlets in, you know, your MBS or your Takashimaya and all that, they replace Evian, which is like a plastic, and they also replace glass bottle. So they came on board with us. So now you'll find this water that is in there, and that's made from paper carton. So we are quite glad that out of all the failures, then we have one success that's picked up by businesses. So it's also at ION. This we can share. You can find the water in ION. You can also find a medical group.
I appreciate you sharing the failures. And I think that's also really interesting to meet the market where it's at and hopefully push, sounds like you're always trying to push the boundaries and really help the consumers to learn faster. But I think also like entrepreneurship is very different to climbing the corporate ladder. So I would love for you to share also some of the other lessons you've learned and in general, any advice you wish you had when you were maybe starting your entrepreneurship journey.
Wow, that's a fantastic question. We were just coincidentally discussing about this yesterday. Is that definitely, when we started the business, we became really vulnerable as the money burn rate became faster and faster. So there was one advice for anyone that intends to start a business is that you must never let your vulnerability become someone else's opportunity to take advantage of you.
Mm.
Because when you're vulnerable, there will be, for example, consultants. So I'll just go direct. Maybe there'll be some consultants or some advisors. They may not have that experience, but they can sense your vulnerability, right? And with that, they will take advantage of you in terms of monetary, in terms of, having you to fork out money and them becoming the savior of your business, of which my suggestion is always to check the credential and get in the hard facts, the hard numbers, right, on what they have done for those companies. And if you can, do a follow-up check with these companies to understand whether they are truly what they say they are. So before you start, burning more unnecessary money and getting hurt and disappointed and discouraged. And you know, that person may fail, the person may think like, "Oh, he's such a failure. Why would he or she believe in this and then, wasted such money?" So this is this from me. Now, maybe for Lynn.
Honestly, I don't think I can even do anything. I don't think I can start a business without a co-founder. I don't know how people do it with a sole founder.
Me too.
I think they're like amazing, but I feel that I really do need a co-founder. Yeah. So, but it's a double-edged. So, you really have to be on like good terms with your co-founder. But I feel that for Angela and me, we are very different in a way that is good. I tend to be someone that likes to look in the near term and she's someone who is more like a long-term thing. And, we always talk things out and we can reconnect to a certain level. So I think, just have to find the right group of people with the right values to be. You don't have to have the same mindset, but you really have to have the right values to be in your team, and that will be your group that will be able to help you check your progress and let you know the truth in things so that you can progress forward.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think both really good advice and things for people to think about. And so can you tell us a little bit about edible plastic? I saw this was also something that came up in my research.
So in the midst of Stephanie, it's very important. At Cloversoft, we still haven't given up yet. The reason why edible plastic was started was because we wanted to be the one, because as we look around, there's just no suitable packaging. And back then, when we have launched what Lynn has explained, two products that were failed, which is the cordless toilet paper and the 1,000 sheets of tissues in a paper packaging, that we knew that it was not picking up and it may not work. So we worked with a group of scientists. We spoke with them a lot in Singapore and we kept trying to use different raw material, those that are biodegradable, to create potential packaging for Cloversoft and for all other products. So at this stage, there's still no breakthrough. because if we want them to be biodegradable, it means that we'll compromise the functionality of the packaging. So at this stage, we are at a stance where we are looking outwards globally, right, and constantly doing research to understand what packaging is really like the most effective. For us at Cloversoft, we are not going into like certain products that are claiming to be biodegradable, because there's one problem that we're also trying to understand is that if that is biodegradable, definitely it means that we can't recycle that material. So it means that there will be a blend of microplastic that will still exist. So now at Cloversoft, our choice is to use 100% recyclable material to ensure that, because our belief is that the recycling ability is there. So we are using this confidence in that area for now, before we discover better packaging as our packaging. We also understand that there are some downsides for, you know, recycling plants and etc. But unfortunately, at this stage, this is the only one that we feel is the most detrimental, yeah, for Earth, yeah.
So basically, we know that, you know, plastic is a word that, you know, people don't like, you know, like a dirty word, but we also understand the need for plastic materials, you know, to be really practical about things. What edible plastic is actually created to find a good source of plastic, but we are still in progress.
Yeah.
Work in progress.
Yeah, we're in progress.
So Stephanie, now just to, in case you ask the question, so we have this on our website to explain how many trees is being saved, and for our wet wipes is how much plastic have we saved, because all the wet wipes in the market are made from plastic. So at Cloversoft, we use bamboo.
Yeah.
And then the number of trees, if you can explain, if you were to consistently use a Cloversoft facial tissue, in 3 months, you will save one tree.
Mm.
I know it's slow, but I guess if more and more people adopt this, then I guess deforestation can definitely be slowed down.
Exactly. And we need to slow deforestation down, because that is the lungs of the planet and how we're all breathing air. So how do you think that we can live wide awake?
Good question. Okay. You know, someone shared with me a story that's in Singapore, that his residence, a landed property, and is beside a newly built MRT station. So what happened is that, so typically we cannot see this. So from him, I learned something. He mentioned that at one point when he came home, there were dead birds in his balcony. And he further explained that the birds, typically they will be out. So when they return, right, the land was cleared. So where they used to live, the trees and that was cleared. Can you imagine this in Singapore? We are, you know, there's no such thing as that, like, we have big forests, but just a small one is already a habitat to animals. So this awakening, I hope I'm in the right direction. So this awakening was, I spoke with the marketing team. We are now on a collaboration. It is to conserve, at this stage, the Amazon, no, in the Latin America. So we are partnering up with one of the strongest organization, right? They are for conserving. So it means that they prevent trees from being, they prevent deforestation. So why is this an awakening? Is, oh, typically what we do is we plant trees, right? So there's an exercise. So they will come to us. That's a fantastic exercise. We will go and plant trees. And then yet animal has lost their habitat, we have lost trees. So that awakening came is, why don't we work with this or with different organizations that conserve? This will be more impactful. It will prevent animals from losing their habitat. Second is that as we are conserving the forests, we can continue to plant trees. Then in that case, that impact will be bigger. So that's my awakening.
I think to live wide awake, I think it's really like conscious effort to be more conscious of our daily behavior and our daily lifestyle, what are the little changes that we can make to our daily lifestyle? It don't have to be like a big change, you know, small little change, small little steps, small little improvements. Yeah. I think that would be a great start.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think they're both such important points. I mean, at Green is New Black, our tagline is little green steps. So I totally like appreciate and advocate for that, because then it's more manageable and you can just have the small wins. And absolutely, we need to like protect rainforests and all our forests as much as possible from deforestation. So two beautiful points to end on. So thank you both so much for sharing your journey with us. And yeah, it's just beautiful to hear more about it. And just, yeah, as you said, making sustainability convenient. We need more of this in our lives. So thank you both for everything you do.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Three things I'm taking away from this conversation with Angela and Lynn. Firstly, being environmentally friendly can be convenient. Sustainability should fit into our lifestyles. And once it does, it becomes a habit and will hopefully flow naturally. Secondly, our skin is our biggest organ and it absorbs way more than we think. Using plant-based and natural ingredients in household products reduces the toxic load in our bodies and the planet. And thirdly, it is all of our responsibility to motivate those around us to come on board and educate where we can. I'm curious, what did you think about the episode and what were your main takeaways? Is there a topic you want me to dive deeper into? I'd love to hear from you. You can find me at Steph L. Dixon or at Live Wide Awake. If you got something out of the podcast and you want to continue this journey with us, consider subscribing and supporting. I hope that today's conversation stirred something deep within you, ready to awaken. And until next time, live wide awake.